Today's shir is Masechta Shkolim Dav Tes Zayin. We will begin in Dav Tes Vav Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom. Tanur Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Oimer. Shnei Aroinus Hoy Mahalchim Im Yisrael B'Midbar. Two Aroinus traveled with Klai Yisrael in the Midbar. Echad Shehois HaTayra, the Luchas HaShniyos, the Luchas that weren't broken, the Sunas B'Toychai, were placed in that Aron. Vechad, the Moshe Beinu made, Shehoi Yishirei Luchas, the Luchas Rishonis were in that Aron. Zushai Sotar in the Sunnah B'Toycha, the one in which the Torah was, Hoyim Munach B'Oil, was in the Oil Moyed on a constant basis. Hahudu, the Gziv, and that's what the Pasuk says. V'Aron Bris Hashem V'Moshe L'Moshe V'Kerav Machna. The Aron Bris Hashem never left the Machna, because it was always there. The Luch, that was the Aron that didn't travel under any circumstances. But the Aron, the other Aron in which the Shirei Luchas were in, would travel with them, and it was taken with them with the Mechama. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan however disagree, and they hold Aron Echad Hoya, there was only one Aron, once it was taken out in the time of Eli, Vinishba, and it was captured, Karyei, says the Gemara, the Pasuk, Messiah Leil Rabbanon, supports the opinion of the Rabbanon that say that there was only one Aron, because the Pasuk says when they heard about the Aron was in Machne Yisrael, Oilanu, and they announced, Miyat Sileini Miyat Helakim Haderim Ha'elu. They were frightened. Why were they so frightened? Mila Delechaza because they saw something that they had never seen previously. Because the Aron, as we learned, the Rabbanan teach, there was only one Aron, and that Aron had never left. And here, for the first time ever, they saw the Aron, which caused them to be extremely frightened. Rabbi Yehuda, how will he explain? He said he'll have to learn that although this was not news to them to see the Aron going out, but what was news here was that till now only the Aron with the Shivrei Luchas they saw. Today was the first time that they saw the Luchas, the Aron with the whole Luchas, and that's what caused them this particular fright. Karya, the Pasuk says, this is the Pasuk which supports Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. The Pasuk says, V'yayim esho lachiyo agish aroin alakim. Bring the aroin alakim. Ask the Gemara, V'aloi, in the time of Shaul, the aroin alakim was b'kirias yorim havia. That's where it was placed until David HaMelech ultimately took it from there. So how could Shaul ask that they should bring the aroin to him? It must be that in the time of Shaul, there were two Arons. One was the Aron that had in it the Luchas, and one was the Aron that had in it the Shivrei Luchas. And what Shaul was requesting was the Aron with the Shivrei Luchas. Says the Gemara Ma'avdalei Rabbanan, what will the Rabbanan do with this Pasuk, which clearly seems to indicate that there were two Aronis? Answers the Gemara that it wasn't Shaul did not request the Aron. What Shaul had requested was Hagish Elai Atzitz. He asked for the chest in which they kept the tzitz. And the reason why that chest was called the Aron Elokim, because we know that on the tzitz it said Kodesh Lashem, so it also had a very high level of Kedusha. And because it had this very high level of Kedusha, that's why it's called the Aron Elokim, but not that it's actually the Aron, because they hold it was only one Aron, which as we just said at that time, they held was in Kiryas Yorim. Karyei, the Sile of Yehuda ben Lakish, there's another Pasuk that supports the opinion of Yehuda ben Lakish that says that there were two Aronis, one that was kept on a steady basis in the Oil Moyed, and one that went out with them to war. The Pasuk says, V'yagidu David Leimut, the Pasuk in Shmuel says that David was told, L'yard Uriah Beisai. Uriah did not come home. V'yayim David al Uriah. And Uriah says to him, why haven't you gone home? V'yomer Uriah el David. So Uriah responds, Ha'aroyim v'Yisrael v'Yehudim yoshim b'sukkos. They're all in sukkos. V'adoni yoy v'adoni v'avdei adoni apnei asod ha'choynim. V'ani ova al beisi lecha lishtos l'shake v'mishki chayecha v'chayi nafshecha em esas adavazah. He refused to go home. He refused to have relations with his wife. Now ask the Gemara, v'loy, at that time, the Aron was already b'tzion. So if Uriah said, why did Uriah say that it was in the Sukkos? At that point, it was already in Tzion because David HaMelech had taken, as David HaMelech had taken it from Kiryas Yerorim and put it into Tzion, which is the place where it's supposed to be. So how do we understand what Uriah meant to mean? It must be that Uriah referred to the second Aron, that the second Aron, because they were at a time of war, that's what he meant to say, it isn't in its place. So ask the Gemara, my Avdan Leila Rabbanan, how will Rabbanan explain this pasuk, which clearly seems to indicate that there was a second Aron, and to that Aron Uriah meant to say it wasn't where it's supposed to be? Says the Gemara, the Aron that he, according to the Rabbanan, the Aron that's being referred to here is the Aron that, the one Aron. And indeed it was already in Tzion. But since it wasn't in a permanent dwelling, it was only in Sukkos, that's why Uriah had a difficulty at that time having relations with his wife. And as I saw the Sefer Peiros Ta'ena explains, what Uriah meant to say is, number one, the Aron is not in a permanent place. But the fact that the Aron is not in a permanent place was not in itself a reason for Uriah to stay away from his home, because the Aron was always, at that point, not in a permanent place. What Uriah meant to say was, number one, we have a situation where the Aron is not in its permanent place. Number two, besides that the Aron is not in its permanent place, also, Klal Yisrael is in a time of war. And therefore, since we have these two factors to take in consideration, that's why I won't have relations with our wife, my wife. Continues the Gemara Mishnah, Nignas Aron, from when the Aron was put away, that we don't see it. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, V'yame Moshe Aaron, Kach Tzintzenes Achas, V'tzen Shom Meloya Oymer Mon, V'hanachoy Soy Lufnei Hashem L'Meshmeres L'Dorei Seichem, Kach Tziva Hashem HaMoshe V'yinichu Aaron Lufnei Edus L'Meshmeres. There should be always left over a jar with the Mon, that Klal Yisrael should have a steady reminder that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives us Panosa, the Tzluch Hashem HaMishcha, in which, as we're going to discuss now in the shir, how much they use the Shemana Mishka to anoint Kahanim Malachim, Makla Shal Aaron, the stick of Aaron of Parocha of Shkedov with its blossoms and its almonds, all of them, Aaron Argush Hirgish Plisht Oshim Lakay Yisrael, when the Plishtim, after they captured the Aaron and gave it back, as they were afflicted with a terrible case of hemorrhoids, they put a box on the side of the Aaron, and wherever the Aaron traveled, the Argus traveled with it. Ask the Gemara, Mik Gonza, who was the one that hid the Aaron? Says the Gemara, Yeshua Gonza, it was Yeshua. Kimin Shirosh Kosov. The story is that they had no Sefer Torah. And then Yeshua discovered a Sefer Torah in the Kotche Kotchim. And they opened up the Sefer Torah, and they opened it up to Parshas Kisavai. And it says, it says there, Yoel Hashem Oyscha Vasmakcha Shetokam Alecha Agoy El Shadata Atavasecha, that the king and that all of Klal Yisrael is going to go into a terrible galus. And at that point, when Yeshua saw that nevuah, that that's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, he was extremely concerned that that should not happen to the Aron Kodesh. Amad V'gonzoi. So out of great respect to the Aron, he hid it. Hadu d'ksiv, v'yoyim l'levim ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael, ha'gdoishim l'ashem, t'nu es Aron ha'kodesh b'bayis ha'shabon ha'shlamim ben Dov ha'melch Yisrael, en lechem bas b'kosuf. Now the question is, the Pasuk says, that he said to put it into the base of Migdash that was built by Shlomo Melech. What wasn't the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash already? So what's pshat that he was telling them to put the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash? Rather, what he meant to say was, hide it in a special place in the Beis HaMikdash that no one should be able to anymore have it if we go into Golos. There's a machloikis Rambam and Ramban if Levim are allowed to carry the Aron. Our Gemara seems to teach us that the Levim are allowed to carry the Aron as well, which is the opinion of the Ramban. The Rambam holds that only Kohanim are allowed to carry the Aron. We're going to have to explain the Mefarshim on the Rambam, that we find, the Gemara says, Masechet Yevamos, Masechet Chulin, the Bechofta al Mekoymus, that in 24 places, the Kru HaKohanim Levim. The Kohanim are called Levim. So here too, when the Gemara says that they should be put it, what they meant to say was, this is where, even though the Pasuk speaks, he says Levim, he really means the Kohanim. And Amalem, and Yeshua said to them, Im Goyli Mochem, if the Aron will go with you into Golus above all, you'll never be able to bring it back to its right place. And therefore, Ata Ivdu as Hashem Elkechem as Amal Yisrael, the right thing to do is hide it, that we shouldn't have this problem. Why was he so confident that if the Aron would go into Golus Bavel, it would never come back to Eretz Yisrael? So Pnei Moshe explains, because he knew how even the non-Jews knew how great and important the Aron was. And therefore he recognized that if they'll get their hands on the Aron, they will never let it back because they recognize how chashuv it is. Another pshat that I saw, the Karmana Odak says that he was concerned that once the Aron was taken out to Bavel, it would lose its Kedusha. And therefore, since he wanted it to remain with the level of Kedusha that it had, therefore he wanted to make sure that it wasn't taken to Golis. Another pshat that I saw is that he was concerned that they wouldn't, just the opposite, they wouldn't treat the Aron with the proper respect that the Aron requires, and that it would fall into disrepair. But Pitam Shemen HaMishka. So we spoke just now about the Shemen HaMishka. The Gemara just mentioned that the Shemen HaMishka was something that they had forever. So since they mentioned the Shemen HaMishka, the Gemara goes into how the Shemen HaMishka was produced and other halachas regarding the Shemen HaMishka. The Pasuk says, in Parshik Sisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Vat Krach Lecha, the Pasuk mentions all the different ingredients that were used in producing the Shemen HaMishka. V'kido chamish meis, how many ingredients were there? How many portions of ingredients? Ha'ela v'chamish meis manim, 1,500 portions. Shemen Zayis Hin, which is Shnei Masa Loid. If you have a hin of oil, that means you have 12 loid. Shabai Sholkin of Sikrim, they took all the various spices and they boiled them in the oil. Divrei Rameya, that's the opinion of Rameya. Yudaimer, Sholkun Haya, they first boiled the besom in water, and therefore the besom became saturated with that water, and therefore when they'll put them into the oil, there won't be any room for the oil to penetrate the besomim because they're already saturated with the water. And then after they had these besamim, according to Yehuda, which was saturated with water, they put the oil, Nosan Shalom and Al-Gabayim, they put the oil on top of them, and Mishahayu Koyle Sareach, and then the oil absorbed the fragrance of those besamim, by Meira, and that's when they skimmed the oil off from the top of the besamim, Kederach Shabbatam Maisim, that's how fragrance makers make perfume, hadad uksiv, that's what the pasuk says, shemen mashkes kodesh, that's the way they were made. The Gemara Masechet Krisis asks that how does the other man, the Amr, respond? So he says the way the other man, the Amr, responds is that it was all mais and nisim anyway, so this was another nais that happened. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Beirav, shemen mashkes as Moshe b'midbar, the Shemen HaMishka, the Moshe Rabbeinu produced in the Midbar, Mas Nisim Ba'a B'tchil V'atzoif. So this is very much continuation, that the whole production and everything involving the Shemra Mishka was all Nisim. Shemetchila Ahaya by Lashneim Asaloi. It started with 12 loy. Shenemar, as we said, Shem and Zayis Hin. And a Hin has 12 loy. Im Losuchas, now we're going to say, Im Losuchas Ikram Loyoy Sipik. It wasn't enough if you want to just take all these Besamim and just smear them with this oil. There's not enough. Velachs Kam Vakama, there was certainly not going to be enough oil if you're going to boil the Besamim in the oil. Sha'ar Boileya, the fire cause evaporation, the Eitzim Boilim, and the fire causes evaporation, the Yerabalas, and some of the oil gets absorbed into the pot. And from this, the Mishkan and all the Kalei Mishkan, Hashulch v'kol Kalev, Hamanoi v'kol Kaleho, Umenu Nimshku Aaron Gadol Bonav, Kol Shiva Shimei Amlun, Umenu Nimshku Kayanu Gedoyim Malachim. So if we have so much came from the Menoira, from the Shemin, how could it happen? It must be that it was all just Nisim. So the question is that the Panim Yofis asks, we know that the Torah says, when it speaks about the Shemra Mishkan, Lysasu b'maskunto, that there's an Isser, there's a laugh for us to produce Shemra Mishka like there was Shemra Mishka in the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan. But the question is, if it's all Nisim, as we just explained, so we could certainly never reproduce that. So why is there a laugh? So the Biskarov says that even though it was all Mais and Nisim, as the Gemara just said a moment ago, they tried to produce it in the regular fashion. It didn't necessarily work, but that's how they tried to produce it. And therefore, if you try to produce it, even though we obviously cannot have a Nais, it's still considered that we did something wrong. Why, explains the Yifei Mara, was there more of a Nais with the Shemin HaMishka that Moshe Rabbeinu manufactured, more than anything else that Moshe Rabbeinu produced? So he explains that the Shemin HaMishka is what shows greatness. The Kahanim that were anointed with the Shemin HaMishka, they remained the Kahanim forever. Something which remains forever is something that we want to show greatness. And therefore, the Torah went out of its... That's why there's a special nace with this more than with anything else. Says the Gemara, Melech v'tchila, if there's a king who wasn't a king previously, he's the first in his family to being a king, Torn Meshicha. He is a king that requires Meshicha. However, Melech ben Melech, if he's the king, the son of the king, so he's just continuing the line, he's not starting a new line, then the halacha is ein tam mashicha. There is no requirement for mashicha. My tama, because the pasuk says when Shmuel anointed David HaMelech, the pasuk says kum mashchei kizehu. What we learn from here, zeh tam mashicha, that David HaMelech requires mashicha because he was the first in his family to be a king. Ve'ein benoi tam mashicha, his children will not require mashicha because they are already. They have it in inheritance. Ava kain gadol ben kain gadol. But when we speak about kohanim gedolim, afil atzara doris tam mashicha. There the halacha is different. The halacha is that even future generations require mashicha. The kula kaim lasa lavoi. And as much as the Shemin HaMishka was used, it will still be here forever. Hadu the ksiv. That's what it says in the pasuk. Shemin kodesh yizali l'doreisechem. The Shemin Mishka will remain for all future generations. Ein moshchan ha-melochim, continues the Gemara, el gabe mayim, by spring. Shenemar, dekat mashlem v'ni al-firda, ha-shali, take him a mayim yul, v'eratatem oysa al-gichoyn, and take him to the gichoyn, v'moshach oysa shom tzadik ha-koyin, v'nosan ha-novi l'melcha Yisrael. That's, he should be specifically anointed at the gichoyn, which was a spring. And the Gemara Masech Taharius explains, the pasuk says Shemin Zeh. What do we learn from Shemin Zeh? That Zeh is the gematria Yud Beis. Yud Beis means that the Yud Beis Loigin, with which we began the Shemin HaMishka, remains there forever. And the Gemara says we do it by the Mayon, because the Mayon is spring, represents something that constantly flows. So too, we're giving this Melech a bracha that his kingdom should flow, and his kingdom should flow forever and ever. We don't anoint the son of a king if he's succeeding his father. Only if there's a situation of a machlokes, that's when we have to anoint him. And the Gemara gives us such examples. Why was Shlomo Melech anointed? Adino said, I should be king. So to show that the kingdom was going to Shlomo Melech, that's why he was anointed. Yosh ben Yehu was Nimshach, who destroyed the entire family and wanted to be the king. So that's why the queen, that's why they anointed him. Yoyach's brother Yoyach was older than him 2 years, and therefore he said he doesn't deserve to be king because he's the younger brother. That's why they had to anoint him. Yehu mnei Yoyrim, he had to be anointed because Yoyrim was contesting his kingdom. So here we see that in a situation that where there's somebody contesting the kingdom, that's when we have to anoint the king. So the Miches Chinuch asks that Rechavim was the successor of Shlomo Melech. And the other, at that time, was the time when Klal Yisrael, the Melucha, got split in Klal Yisrael. So therefore, certainly, he should have been anointed. Why was he not anointed? There was certainly a Machlokes. So Miches Chinuch says that the only time we anoint a king when there's a machlokes is if by anointing the king we're going to accomplish something. But if we're not going to accomplish anything, the melucha remains split even afterwards. So nothing was accomplished by anointing him. And therefore, since nothing was accomplished, then there's no anointing. It's only done when there's something to be accomplished. So Davni Nezer explains in a tshuva, in Yeridei Simen Shin Yud Beis, what the Mashiach accomplishes is that people should recognize that this is the person that deserves to be the king. And therefore, since they recognize, this is to help recognize and affirm that he is the king, and he goes on to explain that when we appoint a king, really, what we're doing is we're pointing that he should be the king, not only he, but his children afterwards should be king. But if there's something that's preventing that from happening, which prevents that from happening, that's when we have to do another Mashiach to make sure that what's supposed to be, that his children should be the king, is not taken away. This opens up an interesting discussion. The Chasam Sofer has a discussion that here we see that the kingdom, Avnei Nezer says the same, that the kingdom goes Beirusha. And the question is, does Rabbonus go Beirusha? So it's very interesting. If we look in the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, there seems to be two contradictory Tshuvas. In one Tshuva, it seems, that is the opinion of the Chasam Sofer, that it does not go Beirusha. When it comes to Rabbonus, we look for the person who's most suitable for that position. But in another tshuva, the Chasam Sofer says that it does go Beirusha. And the Chasam Sofer himself, I think, tries to answer it. He says that the Chasam Sofer, that when the Rabbonus represents a position of Torah, a person who teaches Torah, a person who is learning Torah with Klal Yisrael, so we take the person who is most suitable. But when Rabbonus is really more of a public position, a position of leading the people, a position of being involved with the people, but it's not that connected to Torah, then it goes by Yerusha from father to son. Says the Gemara, Loi Kang Sif, doesn't the Pasuk say, Kumashchei Kizahu, Zetar Mashicha, to teach us that this one required Mashicha Yehu, Veimach Yisrael to Mashicha, and therefore you're not allowed to use, if Mashicha is not required, it may not be done. El Yachz Mnei Yachim, Ocha Shoy Gov Menesh Deishonim, V'lo Yeshia Gonzoi, says the Gemara, But how can we say that they anointed, when we learned at the beginning of the sugya, that was already put away by Yoshio? Says the Gemara, El Hadamr B'Shemen Afas Menushach. It was really a different type of oil, just to show, as if he was being anointed, that the people should accept the kingdom. Eimashch Malachim El Makaren. We use a keren, the horn of an animal, which is not so breakable. That's what used to do Mashicha. Shol, and Shol, who was anointed with a pach, with a keli, v'yehu, that also was anointed min a pach, from just a pitcher, an earthenware pitcher, hoysa malchusa malchusa veres. These were very breakable kelim, and that's why their kingdom indeed did not last for a very long time. In other words, the Rishonim explain, from when David HaMelech was appointed to be Melech Yisrael, the Pasuk is teaching us that only David and his heirs have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, and not anyone else. But the Melech Yisrael, explains the Brisker Rav, even though they are legitimate kings, but they don't have Malchus based David, and once Malchus based David was appointed, the halacha was you can't use Shem and HaMishcha for any of them. And therefore, in the time, says the Brisker Rav, when Shaul was appointed king, even though the Gemara just said he was anointed with a pach, but he was before the time of David HaMelech, and therefore, since he was before the time of David HaMelech, and he was appointed king, they did use the Shem and HaMishcha. The Ben Yoyada says that even though the Shemen Amfarsman is not Shemen HaMishcha, still there was a concern that there shouldn't be a Machloikas in Klal Yisrael. So they went and they took the Shemen Amfarsman that everybody thought, the common people, the general population assumed that it was Shemen HaMishcha, and like that, they did it to avoid Machloikas. David Bishloima Nimshchum HaKaren, but David and Shlomo, who were anointed from a keren, hos machus machus and kiyamis. Ein moshkin kran melachim. We can never make a coin into a melach. I'm review the Andratia and the Torah. La yosu shevet me Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda are the kings, not the kahanim. So I saw that if that's the case, if only Shevet Yehuda are supposed to be the melachim, so why does the Gemara single out the kahanim? So I saw a beautiful pshat. Since Kohanim do have a relationship with the Shemen HaMishcha, as we're learning in our sugya that they use the Shemen HaMishcha for the Kohanim. So if we're going to have to appoint a king, and for some reason he's not going to be from Shevet Yehuda, we would maybe assume that the best Shevet to look from is from the Kohanim. Teaches us the Gemara, the Kohanim and the Yehuda have different purposes in Klal Yisrael. And since they have different purposes in Klal Yisrael, they should not be kings. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ava. Not only that we not appoint Kohanim as Melachim, there's a special point that they should not be Melachim. The Pasuk says, L'man yaruch yomim ha-melachto hu uvonov b'kerv Yisrael, maksib b'srei. And then the Pasuk singles out, La'yir la'kahanim ha-levim. The Pasuk singles out that Kohanim ha-levim should not be Melach. So I saw that the Chikri Lev asks, if there's a special point that the Gemara is making that Kohanim or Leviim may not be Melachim, Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Melach in Klal Yisrael. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu be a Melach? So one teretz is that was before Matan Torah. And before Matan Torah, the halacha is that this rule did not apply. Another teretz, something similar that we discussed earlier in our shir, is that there's a special point that Kohanim should not be Melech. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi, and even though the Pasuk that we just read speaks about Leviim, as we mentioned earlier, many times the Pasuk says Leviim, and it means Kohanim, and this is such an example. Amar Rav Yochanan. The Pasuk, with the Gemara just mentioned before, that Yochias ben Yoshia was appointed a king before Yoyakim, even though Yoyakim was 2 years older than him. Amar Rav Yochanan, Hu Yochanan, the pasuk that mentions the Divrei Yomin, Ubnei Yoshia, Habachar Yochanan, Hasheni Yoyakim, Hashlishi Tzitkiyah, Arvi Shalom, says, Hu Yoichan and Hu Yoyachas. Yoichan and Yoyachas were one and the same individual. Ask the Gemara, how can we say so? V'siv HaBachar Yoichanan. The Yoichanan was the Bachar. And if Yoyachas and Yoichanan are the same, so how do we say that Yoyakim was 2 years older than Yoyachas? Answers the Gemara, what the Pasuk means was, he was Bachar Malchus. He was a Melech before his brother Yoyakim. Amar Rav Yoichanan, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzitkiyo. Shalom and Tzitkiyo were one and the same. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that? The Pasuk that we just read said, V'ksiv HaShlishi Tzitkiyo V'Ravi Shalom. Clearly indicating they were different individuals. Answers the Gemara, what the Pasuk means to say is, Shlishi Lila told us, Yoyakim was the Bechor, Yoichanan was number two. He wasn't the oldest, he was the first one as king. He was Yoyachas. He was the second child. And the third child was Tzitkiyo, who was also Shalom. And why is he called Revi? Because from all of the brothers, he was the Revius of Melech. Because first Yoyachas was a king, then Yoyakim, then Yechayanya, the son of Yoyakim, and then Tzitkiyo, who was Shalom, was the fourth king. Tzitkiyo, why was he called Tzitkiyo? Shetzidik alav midasagdin. When his children were slaughtered and his eyes were blinded, he accepted what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Shalom, why was he called Shalom? Shabiyamov Shoma Malchus based of it. In his lifetime, it came the end of the Malchus based of it. However, says the Gemara, Lo Shalom Havishmei, his real name wasn't Shalom, nor was it Tzitkiyo El Matanya. His real name was Matanya Adud Ksiv, Yimlach Melch Bavel, the Melch Bavel appointed as Matanya Doidoi Tachtov, Yisur Shmei Tzitkiyo. His original name was Matanya, and then it was changed to Tzitkiyo. The Torah Kedosha, when it speaks about the Aron, says V'osa Aron Atzishitim, Amasayim V'chetzi Arka V'amaveis Chetzi Rokba V'amachamaytzi Kamasayim. So now the Gemara wants to describe exactly the dimensions of the Aron, and not just describe the dimensions of the Aron, but moreover explain how what was in that Aron. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Amah, when we speak about an Amah, typically the Amah is 6 tefachim. But there are Amahs that are smaller, 5 tefachim. And there are even Amahs that are bigger, that are 6 tefachim and chatzi etzba. The Amah Beinonis is one of just 6 tefachim. And the Gemara now describes what were the dimensions of the Aron. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Amah shal shish tefachim haya Aron asui. The Amah that was used to build the Aron was an Amah of 6 tefachim. Man tamma ba'amah shal shish tefachim. Says the one, who's the Tana that has this opinion? Remehi. The Tana, Remehi, Oymer kol ha'amis ha'yu ba'beinanis. All the amis that were used to build in the Beis HaMikdash were typically a 6 tefach amah. Yudam amis ha'binyin, to build the walls, then we use shisha, but the kalim, like the Aron, they used an amah of 5 tefachim. Adat Remehi, according to Remehi, do Oymer ba'amah shal shish tefachim ayon osri. The Aron was built out of an Aron of an Amah that was made up of 6 tefachim. Orka shel Aron. So if the Torah Kedosh says that the Aron was 2.5 amas wide, long, which we're going to define as wide, that means it was 6 plus 6 plus 3, which is 5 tefachim. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, of Masayim v'chetzi Orka, Amsa Ashita v'Amsa Ashita, each Amah was 6 tefachim, and then we have another half Amah, Palga Amsa Tlosa. What was in this 15 amas? Says the Gemara. The arba luchas hayiba. As we started the shir, there were the luchas and there were the shivrei luchas. In these 15 amas, you had these 4 luchas. The ksiv, the pasuk says regarding the luchas. Ve'echtavas aluchas alvar meshayu luchas harishanim meshashibatam the samtam ba'aron, to teach us that both of these luchas were put into the aron together. Haluchas hayikol echad ve'echad. Each one of the luchos were orchai shisha tefachim and rochvai shisha. The width of each one of them was 6 tefachim. So now, if we have 4, that means it's 4. So we have them all together. They were there by 6 in the length and 3 in the width. That's why. So that's how we'll have 4 and 6 was the length of each one. 3 was the width of each one. So we have 4 times 3, it took up 12. Archon, because says the Gemara, the width of the luchas were put to Tain Orchon, put the width of the Luchas, La'orka Shal Arlon, to the width, to the length of the Arim, which is 15. And now that takes up 12 of the 15. So we have Nishayestam, so we're left with 3 Tfachim. Tamehem, Chatzi Tefel Kol Kaisel. Now each wall of the Arim took up a half a Tefach. So now we have another Tefach used up. Nins Steyer, we're left with Shnei Tfachim. What was put into those leftover 2 Tfachim? We put the Sefer Torah. So in other words, the length of we measure the Arin in its width, it was a total of 15. 4 times 3 for the Luchais, 2 Tfachim for the Sefer Torah, and two more for the width of the walls. With Rav Shal Arin Tisha Tfachim. Then when we speak about the height of the Aron, it's 9 Tfachim, the Ksiv, Am V'chetzi Rachbay. So again, Amsa, Shita, Amma takes up 6 Tfachim. Apagas Amsa, half an Amma takes up Plasa, 3 Tfachim. V'arba Luchas, Hayba, we have the 4 Luchas. Shnaim, Shnaim, and Shnaim Shvurim, the Luchas Shleim and the Luchas Shvurim. As we said, they were all put into the Aron, the Ksiv, Asher, Shibartam, the Samtam, Ba'aron. And that's how they were able to take fit in. Ten rochvan shaluchas l'rochvish l'aron dainish shesham shlosh tefachim. So if the height is 9 and we only need 6, says the gemara chatzit tefach mekan loivi kaisel zeh v'chatzit tefach mekan loivi kaisel zeh. We also need it for the width of the walls. Tefachim l'shil makom shesefet harim munach. You need a little room to be able to put in and take out what was in the Aron. So the Ratvaz was asked the question, the Shalos Tshuvos Ratvaz, Chela Gimel Simen Tof Kuf Lamed. He discusses, why is the Sefer Torah put into the Aron Kodesh standing? Shouldn't it be put in laying, just like we find in our Gemara, that's the way the Luchas were placed into the Aron? And in fact, the Rebbeinu Tam held that, he says, that when he made an Aron Kodesh, he specifically made it wide, that the Sfarim should be able to be laying in, the Sefer Torah should be able to be laying in the Aron, just like it did in the Aron Kodesh that we have in our Shul, just like it was in the Aron Kodesh in the Mishkan. However, the Ratvaz says that the Minig in all Shuls is that the Aron Kodesh stands, and since this is our Minig Aviseinu, he says, that's the minhag we have to follow. And he says the reason it's done that way is because it's easier to take the Sefer Torah out from the Aron when it's standing versus when it's laying. He also says that it's connected to a question that is discussed, what is the proper way of putting up mezuzah? Is the better way of putting up mezuzah standing or to put it flat? Our minhag is to put it on a slant, which is a compromise of those two opinions. The Shimon ben Lakish disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, "Ba'amah gas chamisha tefachim hayu aron asri." He says the aron was made up of an amma, which is a 5 tefachim amma. Man tam ba'amah gas chamisha tefachim. Says the Gemara, "Who's the Tana that follows that opinion?" Says the Gemara, "Rabbi Yehudahi." The Tanin Taman, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Amas habinyan for building the Beis Hamikdash, they used an amma of shisha of 6 tefachim. However, shalakelim chamisha." The kelim was made out of chamisha, v'hein aron klihu. And since the aron is a keli, the aron they built out of an amma of 5 tefachim. Al dati Rabbi Yehuda du Omer, ba'amma al chamisha tefachim. If we say that the amma that was used to build the aron was a 5 tefach amma, haya orka osa shneim osa tefach. That means that the length of the aron would be 12 tefachim and a half. The ksiv, amma v'chetzi orka. The Torah says regarding the dimension of the aron, amma v'chetzi arka. Amsa chamisha, two amas, each 5 tefachim, and then you have another half alma, palgas amma trei palga, which is 12 and a half. Abba luchas hayba, you had in the Aron, as we learned today, shneim shleimim, shneim shvurim, both the shleimim and the shvurim, as the pasuk says, the ksiv shishibarto, the samta ba'aron, the luchas hayu kol echa ve'echad, orkan shisha tefachim, v'rachan shisha tefachim. Ten orkan, take the width of the luchas, which is a total of 12, as we said before, la'orka sh'aron, to the length of the aron, v'nishtayah sham chatzi tefach. He only left with a chatzi tefach. And according to him, the width of the walls weren't each a half a tefach. Etzbel kaisel mikan. That's how your entire 12 and a half were used up. Rachva shel aron, shiva tefach mechza. The width was 7 and a half. Because the Torah, when it describes the width of the aron, says, Amah v'chetzi rachba. Amsa, one am is chamisha. Palgas amsa trail palgas, 7 and a half. Vabra luchas hayba, shnaim shnaim v'shnaim shvurim. Diksiv, ashi shibart v'samtam ba'orin. Haluchas hayu kolech v'echad arkan shish tfachim. V'rachvan shish tfachim. So according to this, ten rachvan, take the length of the luchas, which is sis tfachim, the rachva shal arin, to the width of the arin, which we just said is 7 and a half. So we're left with a tefach u'machtza. Etzba le kaisel mikan v'etzba le kaisel mikan. We have an etzba on top and etzba on bottom for the actual walls of the aron. Chatzi tefach mikan v'chatzi tefach mikan. That's where we put the Sefer Torah. So Gemara goes now into describing how Bezalel constructed the aron. Says the Gemara, Ketzer also Bezalel's aron. How did Bezalel exactly build the aron? Rechanina mishloish tevis also. He built three boxes. Shtaim shel zav, two were out of gold, vach shel etz, and one was made out of wood. Nosn shel zav b'shel etz, he put the gold box into the wood box, and then he put the shel etz b'shel zav, the wood box into the gold box, the tzipo, and then he took the rim, and he gold plated it. Diksiv, the tzipis oysa zav tamer bayis and b'chutz, ma tamer loymer tetzapena. The Torah says the word v'tzipisa, and then the Torah says, the tzipisa is zov tamer bayis mechutz tetzapena lavi svasal yona, that the upper rim was also covered in gold. Rishim elokishomer teva achas. According to him, there was just one box, a so it was made out of wood, the tzipo, and he gold plated that wood chest. The ksiv, the tzipisa is zov tamer bayis mechutz matam alaymer tetzapena. So according to him, what do we learn from the word Titzapena, Lahavi Beines Amra Penchas Lahavi Beinesel and Neser? This pasuk comes to teach us that not only did they coat the entire chest, but even the cracks between the pieces of wood, they also put gold in those cracks. Kaisaraya Luchas Ksuvim, says the Gemara, exactly how were the Luchas written? Rechanina ben Gamliel Oimer, Chamisha Aluach Zu. There were five dibros on one luach, the chamisha luach se, and five on the other luach. Tadad d'ksiv, and that's what the pasuk says. The yichtavim al shnei luchas avonim. What does that mean? Chamisha luach se, five on this, and five on that. And I saw that the Mabit points out that according to this interpretation, there were many more letters on the side with the five first dibros than there were on the side with the second dibros. He says there was a total of 533 letters on the first dibros, and there's 87 on the second. So he says that what the Mabit says, that they must have made the letters in the second dibros larger, otherwise it would not look proper. Moreover, he says that the reason it was done this way, according to this opinion, was to show us that the lucha, that the mitzvahs of Ben Adam Lamakim, which are represented in the lucha shnius, are equivalent to the mitzvahs of the Ben Adam Lachaveroi, which are mentioned in the luchos rishonis. Rabbanan disagree. They say asara luchse, the five dibros rishonis were written twice on this luach on both sides of the tablet. Vasara luach se, and so too was it on the second tablet. Where did Rabbanan take this from? Says the Gemara, Mahudu the Ksiv, V'yagel lechem esprisa, Shetziva eschem, Lasas aseres advorim. And the pasuk says afterwards, V'yichtav aluchas, K'michtav arishon, as aseres advorim. What does the Torah say twice the aseres advorim? The teachers, Vasara luach se, Vasara luach se, each one had 10, five on each side. Rishim ben Yechai Oimer, as Esrim aluach se, Esrim aluach se. He says that besides that they were written on both sides of the tablet, they were also written that all the Seres HaDibros were written on each tablet. So we have 20 on the Esr Maluch Seh, 10 in the front and back of one, Esr Maluch Seh, and 10 in the front and back of the other one. The Ksiv, the Yichtaveim, Al Shnei Luchas Avonim. The Pasuk says that all of them should be put on each Luach. Esr Maluch Seh, Esr Maluch Seh. Rav Simoy Omer, they were written all four sides of the tablet. And therefore, if that's the case, Abay Maluch Seh, Abay Maluch Seh, all 10 were written on each tablet. And all 10 were written on all four sides of the tablet. As the Pasuk says, Mezeh u Mezeh Ksuvim, like a tetraigo, which is a four-sided dimension. Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua Omer, ben Kol Dibur v'Dibur, between each one of the Dibris of the Seres HaDibris, Digdokeo v'es Yeseh Shotayra, all of the various details and the drushes that we have throughout Shas are written. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Meloim Katarshish, Kiyama Rabba, just like the sea is full of different fish, here too it's full of all of these different lessons. Rav Shimon ben Kli, Rav Shimon ben Lokish Kava Matna HaKro, when we learn this Pasuk Kavama, Yofel Amdeini Chananya ben Achir Rabbi Yeshua, Ma Yamazeh ben Gal Godl Gal Godl, between the big waves, there are Galim Ktanim, there are small waves, Kach ben kol dibur v'dibur, between all the dibros in the luchos, digdukteh v'shiseh shotayra, we had the digdukteh and the shiseh of all of the Torah, of the entire Torah was put there. It says, but the Beis HaLevi points out that this was only by the luchos rishonis, but the luchos shnius, they were only had the seres dibros, and the point is that the difference between Luchos Rishonis and Luchos Shnius is that the Luchos Rishonis, he says, were given to us in a manner that they were so easy to understand and learn. Everything was right there. However, when we speak about the Luchos Shnius, for that, says the Beis HaLevi, we had to study them and learn them. And it doesn't just come without any work in trying to understand the Divrei Torah. That's why the Torah Shebaal Peh, he says, was given with the Luchos Shnius. Part of learning is that we should learn the Torah Shebaal Peh to understand the Torah. We learned earlier that according to Rav Meir, the Aron was made out of a Amma that was 6 Tfachim. And therefore, the Oirach of the Aron was 15 Tfachim. And that's why we learned there was place for the Sefer Torah, says the Gemara. But according to Rav Yehuda, that the Aron was only 15 Tfachim, there was no room for the Sefer Torah. It says the Ma'arav Tanchuma, Eshkeshis Kamei Rapinchas, Ask Rapinchas, Asik Rabbi Yehuda, Loi Asik Rameya. We see that the Sefer Torah was not put in the Aron, it was outside. It must follow the opinion of Yehuda, not Rameya. My time Rabbi Yehuda, because what does the Rabbi Yehuda say? Yehuda says, the Pasuk says, L'koyach HaSefer Torah Hazev Asamtam Asam Mitzad Abras Aron Abris. So it was put on the side. Adat Rabbi Yehuda do Omer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Heichna Yosefer Torah Nosen, where was the Sefer Torah placed? Kimin Gluskia, Osulam B'chutz, there was a box where it was put outside of the Aron, there was a box outside of the Aron, by Sefer Torah Nosen B'Socha, and that's where the Sefer Torah was. My time to Rameya, where does Rameya take that the Aron was, that the Sefer Torah that we're speaking about was put in the Aron? The Ksiv Nasatas Kaparis Al Aron Melmala, so we see that they should put it inside. According to Ramey, we have to say there is no specific order to the Torah, and therefore say that the Sefer Torah was put in before they put in the Kapyrus. Why we have to say is first put in the Sefer Torah, and only afterwards the Nesatas Kapyrus Al Aron Melmala, not the order of the Pesukim. Pinchas b'shem Rishim b'lokish. Hatorah shenosna kodesh baruch l'moisha. The Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu received, nitin la'esh levona haru karusa b'eshchera, was white fire on top of dark fire. He esh, and the Torah is fire, v'vlelis b'esh, chatsuvim esh, nutsuvim esh, diksivim yine esh dos lamay. So what's pshat that it was made with all the different types of fire? So I saw the Mepharshim explain that fire has different characteristics. Fire is something that we that we have to stay away from. But on the other hand, fire is what we have to use for everything in life. That's the same thing. On one hand, we have to recognize that Torah is the holiest of the holy, and it represents all Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since it represents Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to treat it with the proper Kedusha that it represents. But on the same time, we have to realize that without the Torah, we have no way of survival. The Torah is what gives us survival. And that's why, since the Torah gives us survival, we need to, the Torah is the fire which we need to live by. And I saw that the Pesukim also say, this is the Makor, how we know that the klaf, which the Sefer Torah should be written, should be white. Because they explain when it says here, Eish Chayra, Gav Eish Levana, Eish Chayra represents the writing, and the Eish Levana represents the represents on what you write the Torah, and that the klaf on which we write the Sefer Torah should be Levana, white.